Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the South Loop Strength and Conditioning Podcast. I'm your host, Paul Wagner. Today, I'm sitting down with Todd Neef, Director of Training here at South Loop Strength and Conditioning in Chicago, Illinois. We're going to talk about mindset, the different mindsets that people have coming into the gym, the different reasons why they're training, why they're going after their goals, the negatives, the positives, the ins and outs, all of these things to hopefully give you some perspective on the reason why you are doing your own training. If you want more information on South Loop Strength and Conditioning, you can check out our website. It's southloopsc.com. I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Thanks for listening. Power snatch. Okay, so today we're talking about the mindset behind training, the why behind training, right? All these things that come up for different individuals, different people. And I think this is a valid discussion for 99% of the people in the world that decide to come into these gyms, right? First off, you know, we kind of broke this thing in here, broke it down into these five buckets of looks, right? Kind of general health or wellness. Next, we had that performance and sports performance kind of mindset. And then this outside performance, maybe in the workplace, maybe when it comes to family life, extracurriculars with the quotes, air quotes, and with this idea of like improving energy and focus. So let's start with looks, Todd. What's going on there? Let's look good naked, right?
Yeah, of course. I think that the interesting thing about discussing these different mindset pieces comes down to whether or not people even recognize that these are different in terms of what would be an appropriate amount of training, what would be an appropriate style of exercise selection for training, what would be an appropriate diet, how much time should you be devoting to it, what kind of sacrifices are you willing to make to perform better in the gym, that's not going to be the same for all these different pieces, right?
Right.
Someone training simply to look good naked does not need to do the volume of someone who's trying to compete in CrossFit, and that someone trying to compete in CrossFit doesn't need to do the same exercises as someone who wants to make their high school football team. And that the actual why behind this is also very relevant in terms of why someone is motivated to show up and stay accountable.
Sure.
Right? So if someone is honest with themselves in terms of what they're hoping to get out of coming to the gym, then they're going to have an easier time making the appropriate plans, the appropriate sacrifices, and all that stuff to actually get them to show up and do what they need to do to achieve what they're looking for.
Well, and that's, I think, you know, that's the big thing with when we're talking about just looks and people wanting to look a certain way. It seems to me that compliance tends to be the biggest issue with that, where, you know, these people that they're really only here to maybe change their body composition or change the way their clothing fits. They're either going too hard, too fast and burn out, or they're not doing enough consistently to truly get what they want out of that.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, I guess, a balance for everyone, especially when it comes to balancing things with lifestyle outside of the gym or outside of the facility. But, you know, that's where we see that issue of like, okay, well, what is right for me for what I want in terms of looks?
Sure.
And maybe I think for most people, since we're all human beings, I think the looks factor comes into play. Even for your competitive athletes, I think people want to look good.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think people struggle mentally with, if you tell them, hey, you need to put on 10 pounds of body fat, that's not ideal. Quiet down.
Can we like...
It's DirecTV.
Can we like turn that off somehow?
You know, looks, in you just touched on this with, you know, your competitive athletes, some of them struggle when you tell them, look, for you to perform better, you need to let go of how you look. I need you to not worry about being 6% body fat. You would perform better at 12, 15% body fat, you know, depending male to female, whatever the number is irrelevant here. And you don't work with a ton of competitive athletes.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's a constant battle for you, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the... the conflation of what is appropriate for someone attempting to, you know, compete in bodybuilding versus right. what is appropriate for someone attempting to compete in sport.
Two things.
Versus
much
someone
different.
Attempting to compete in CrossFit versus someone who just wants to look good, like, and be healthy. Like, there's just so many ideas just being taken from the wrong spot and misapplied. So, I mean, to sort of get back to what you're talking about with competitors and looks, you know, there's a lot of people who are training with extremely high volume because that's the reality of what's needed to be competitive in, you know, fitness as a sport. And they're simultaneously trying to follow some weird, you know, stage prep diet they found online because they want to also have, you know, the shredded six pack, and they want to look like the competitors they see on Instagram. They want to look like the competitors they see on TV, and they're sabotaging their performance because they're under eating on calories.
Exactly.
Right. That if you are training at that high a volume, you being in caloric deficit is like one of the most dangerous things you can do in terms of overtraining, in terms of limiting your body's ability to recover, and trying to follow some macro plan meant to, you know, get you on stage for some, you know, striated lats is like, it's going to wreck you. Right. It's going to blow you up.
Yeah, so when it comes to a competitor, the looks just really is not necessarily something that they should be focused on, right? Like, they're going to have to let that go a little bit for the performance to be there.
Yeah, and the reality is, too, is that, you know, the competitors that you see at the highest level are genetically elite.
Right.
Right? Like, they're genetically elite in terms of their capacity to recover from training. They're genetically elite in terms of their, you know, their body composition tendency. They're genetically elite in terms of their, you know, ability to utilize their aerobic system. Like, these people are on the far end of the bell curve for pretty much all of these traits, which is why they're the ones winning.
So let's go backwards then. For the people that are coming to the gym just for the looks, what's the biggest component for them? You know, not even necessarily inside the gym, but outside, you know, what's the mindset that they need to have towards getting the looks that's going to be beneficial to someone who does not care about performance?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the again, you sort of run into this confusing back and forth between looks and performance, where people say that they want to train for performance because they want to look like the people who they see performing at a high level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then you also have people who legitimately want to train for performance who still are not quite happy with their body composition, so they start sabotaging their own training by messing around with diets and trying, you know, oh, like, I saw this PDF online that I downloaded that told me that I need to, you know, only eat carbs after this time at night.
Sure.
And it's just kind of a disaster. So I think that the biggest thing is it's going to be individualized. So for the average person who just wants to look better, right, and they own that, and there's no judgment relative to that either, right? It's not like you're just training for looks, like you're so vain.
Stop doing curls, man.
Yeah, no, it's not there's no judgment behind that. That's a perfectly valid goal. And I think that the biggest thing for most people is, if you think about buckets of exercise, sleep, nutrition, and stress management, almost everyone who is not happy with their results, beyond just like psychological issues relative to, you know, never being happy or always having something they need to work on, is that they're really missing the mark in one of those areas, right? They may have their training dialed, they may have their nutrition dialed, and they're sleeping 4.5 hours a night.
It's not gonna work.
Yeah, it messes you
it's
up.
It's a failure waiting to happen.
Yep.
Okay. General health and wellness. Yep. Talking about, you know, this is a mindset that I think a lot of people, maybe as they get older, start to really think of. And unfortunately, they weren't doing it earlier when it comes to training, is having this mindset towards just being healthy, just being generally fit, you know, maybe improving blood markers, things that your general practicing doctor is going to give you a high five for. This mindset towards general health and wellness, I think, is becoming more and more prevalent in our side of the industry and important for just a general population. You know, and wondering, I think, for you, as someone who has seen a lot of different of areas of growth within this industry, from CrossFit to strength and conditioning training to now the grid stuff, you know, there's all these different things, Insanity, all these boot camps, this general health and wellness mindset becomes very important as we get older and older in terms of training age, where the score doesn't matter.
Yeah, sure.
Right? You know, and I think going forward, that becomes what keeps people consistent over time. You know, and when it comes to us seeing the future of our facility here, that tends to be, at least from my recent experience, that is the driving force behind a lot of people coming into the gym. You know, for me, as someone who works more on the day-to-day, less with competitive athletes, I think that having a goal of being healthy when you retire, you know, being able to live a life that's very fruitful in terms of enjoyment and not having to pay tens of thousands of dollars in months, a month in medical bills, becomes very valuable 20, 30, 40 years down the road from wherever people might be. Which I think is an interesting thing when you look back towards the competitive athletes.
Right.
And it's like, okay, well, where are you going to be in 20 years? Because we don't know. Right. You know, I think with, especially with the sport of CrossFit,
sport.
With Grid League, you know, we don't know. We don't know where people are going to be in 10 to 20 years. You know, are we going to see similar things like we have with the NFL, where all of a sudden, three decades down the road.
I think they need to change the helmets for CrossFit. So.
Yeah. Start having them wear padding.
Yeah.
I think it's an interesting thing because we don't know. You know, from a competitive standpoint, we don't know where the general health of athletes are going to be.
Yeah.
You know, these unintended consequences of sport, kind of interesting when you look at the mindset towards health, where competitive athletes, professional athletes, they are not being paid to be healthy.
No.
They are being paid to do one thing. That's win. That's perform. That's make money for either their team, their franchise, or for themselves.
Yeah.
Right?
And to beat people, right? Because in fitness, there's still not a lot of money in it. So these people are performing at a high level, not necessarily for paychecks. I mean, a few of the very top of the top get a paycheck, but most of them are just doing it to beat people.
Yeah. So it's more of an ego thing, you think?
I mean, yes and no. Like I feel like ego is a pejorative in that sense, that I don't necessarily think it's, you know, a negative thing to say I want to perform at the best of my capacity and I want to see what I'm capable of and I want to, you know, compete against the best and see if I can beat them. Like that's not it's the same thing as, you know, I want to train so I have a six pack and I can go to the beach and like make people look at me. Like, I mean, some people would judge that goal. There's no judgment.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Okay. Well, and then I think that next set of mindset that we look at, or another reason why people come and train, is performance.
Yep.
Overall performance. And we can split this into two pieces. General performance, right? I'm physically capable of doing more with my body now than I was able to 2 years ago, 1 year ago, 6 months ago. And then the other being sport performance. You know, I am competing with my club rugby team at a higher level than I ever have before. You know, that's, I think, also something that we see a lot of is this idea of, like, I just want to kick more ass.
Yeah.
I want to do better at all of these things. For me personally, as kind of a bigger athlete, performance was very important for me in terms of gymnastics. I'm not built to be upside down. It's a scary thing for me, you know? Having torn my pec a couple years ago, the idea of a strict muscle up seemed totally lost. So a big driving factor in terms of performance for me in my head was that I was told, one, by some medical professionals that it would never happen, okay? And then two, just in my own mind, I had to complete that task. I had to perform at that level for no other reason aside for some sweet Instagram videos.
Doctors told me I couldn't.
Yeah, right?
The doctors told me, but I showed them.
Yeah, you know, it's just general...
Doctors!
Just general level of performance, you know? And I think for you, and I've known you now for a few years, I've seen your mindset change with your performance in the gym. Where are you at with that? What are your, because that is very valuable, I think, to a lot of people, is like you've had some big changes. When I first knew you or first met you, the regionals game was like kind of still in the forefront.
Yeah, sure.
Right? You'd done it on team, you were fighting to get there as an individual.
Uh-huh.
Where's that at now?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's, and you sort of touched on this, there's two kind of mindsets to performance that, again, I think are pretty significantly different. And one of them is sort of that, like, process of self-improvement. Like, I want to do better than I've done before. I want to steadily improve over time. Maybe I want to set a benchmark, like, for you, strict muscle up.
Yeah.
You know, people, body weight snatch, double body weight back squat, 5K run in a certain time. That, you know, people have these little performance goals that they set for themselves. The process of achieving those goals and setting new ones is very rewarding, right? Whether it's with fitness.
Yes,
you know,
definitely.
I used to care about being good at guitar, and it was a similar thing where it's like, I need to figure out how to play this Marty Friedman solo. Then once I can play it.
Freebird, man.
I'm going to figure out
Freebird.
This harder Marty Friedman solo. Oh, dude. Fuck Freebird.
Whatever. Take it there.
Yeah, but I think that's a very, you know, self-contained, self-improvement process.
Sure.
Which, for most people, can be sustainable, right? The mindset there is, like, over time, I would like to continually see improvements in, you know, aspects of my fitness or my performance that matter to me, not necessarily based upon anything other than my own goal-setting process, which is... you know, it's very self-contained. Then there's the other one, which is this more sport performance, which is like,
yeah,
I need to make this team. And in order to make this team, I need to beat these other people, right? I'm on this team. I need to win a starting role. And in order to do that, I need to beat these other people. I'm a starter on this team, and we want to make it to the playoffs. And in order to make it to the playoffs, I need to be able to crush anyone who lines up across from me, right? I am a runner, and I want to, you know, make it to the Olympic trials. I know what time I need to run, and I have this date circled on my calendar, and I need to be able to hit it at this date, right? I'm a CrossFit competitor. I'm on the bubble for regionals, and I want to qualify, and I know that come, you know, February, March, that I need to be ready to go.
You need
and
to
ready
hammer to, it. You
yeah,
need to put it down.
You know, get my ass kicked for 5 weeks and see what kind of numbers I can put up. So that sort of internal process is not necessarily the same thing as that sort of external competitive, like I need to beat people to meet my goals. And then also just that external competitiveness, again, it kind of introduces another element, which is depending on what level you want to compete at, you may have to sacrifice your health to achieve your goals.
Right.
Right, where it's like, yeah, you want to play at that level, like, guess what? The amount of volume you're going to have to do, like, you might hurt yourself.
Right.
You might trash your hormones.
Well, and I think we, you know, you see that, and that's where you make that kind of separation from general performance in terms of just physical performance and then sport performance.
Mm-hmm.
Even not necessarily at a professional or semi-professional level, but we see a lot of weekend warriors running marathons every year, playing club sports, doing these things. And then all of a sudden they show up with a giant leg brace and you found out that they tore their meniscus or they blew their shoulder out playing sand volleyball. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, okay, from a health standpoint, training can be very beneficial for sports performance. But then from a safety standpoint, training is also extremely beneficial for that sports performance. But I think you're right. You know, there is that level where it's like you are no longer in a spot where you're just training for performance. You are training to help yourself go to that next level.
Yeah.
And there's some risk there. There definitely is some risk there.
And I think that's an area that, again, people need to be honest with themselves in terms of how much they value their long-term health over their short-term performance. Because there are going to be trade-offs when you start to push that performance as high as you can go.
Right.
Again, there's no judgment in that. If you say, you know what, like, I want to make it to the regional level and cross it, no matter what it takes, like, that's a perfectly valid goal.
Sure.
And then, you know, you end up, whatever, overtrained, like testosterone in the toilet, and you dislocate your shoulder and get patellar tendonitis. It's like, well,
no bueno.
Like,
that's where you went.
Yeah,
though.
You're not going to be happy about that maybe in 5 years, but like, you signed up for it and you chose to walk through that door. And I think that people can make that decision. You know, people are adults, they can make that decision.
Right.
But I think a lot of times people are not confronted with that decision. Like, hey man, like, you are running this marathon just because you like it and because you want to run it faster than you ran last year. Like, do you really want to shuffle through 20 miles this weekend doing some weird compensation gait pattern because your knee hurts?
Sure.
Like, is this marathon that important to you? Like, you're a guy with a job, like, and you have children. Like, you know, and if it is, like, that's awesome. You can make that decision. But, you know, I think people need to be confronted with, like, what trade-off are you making and why are you doing it? And is your performance in this short-term piece important enough for you to potentially risk injury, to risk, you know, health consequences from training?
And this is kind of the next big point we had with mindset and reasons why to train is, you know, people not being honest about their reason why. You know, for me personally, a couple different things come into mind. This is part of what I do for a career. I need to be physically fit to perform for my day job, coaching classes, helping clients and members understand the different aspects of movements, things in general, as well from just a general, you know, practice what you preach, look good, play good, as I always like to say. If you look like a total dirtbag and you've never touched a gym, who are you to tell me how to perform in a gym? That's always the way I've looked at it, especially coming from a sports background in football and lacrosse. The people that I looked up to as coaches, pretty much I knew they were better than me. Maybe not right then, you know, but when they were in their prime, they were as good or better than me. Hence the reason why I respected their opinion. Not that it was necessarily always right, but I think that that was a really important thing for me. But then on top of this is this idea of kind of fake reasons why, you know, that are not true in terms of really what they're doing for a reason why, you know. Sure. And that becomes a massive roadblock, I think, especially when you get to that point where you start hitting some plateaus in terms of numbers, strength-wise, and then also chronic issues with pain, injuries, small things that you're going to have to actually go see maybe a physical therapist, maybe a medical professional. Someone maybe needs a cortisone shot to get through their training, right? These come up, and these
That's me. I just got a cortisone shot.
These are things that then people stop, and they just stop altogether instead of working around small issues, you know. And it's like, well, you just weren't being honest. You created a reason for you to be training or you to be pushing hard in the gym, but it really at the core is not why you're showing up.
And I'm going to partially disagree with you on that, because I think that a lot of times when people get derailed by, you know, setbacks like that, it's not necessarily like a macro scale issue of like, why am I training? Mm-hmm. I think it's usually more of an all or nothing attitude, where it's like,
okay,
I want to train 5 times a week for an hour and do my cool down afterwards and do snatches and pull-ups and whatever, and I'm busy and my shoulder hurts, so I can't train 5 times a week, and my shoulder kind of hurts, so I can't do pull-ups, and I'm just going to do nothing.
Just nothing.
It's very easy for people to be very on the wagon or off the wagon, right? You see the same thing with food all the time, where it's like, okay, like I'm doing my 30-day cleanse, like, whoops, I got drunk and ate a pizza, like... Doing nothing at all now. And I think that that for a lot of people, just being able to say, okay, like this isn't going to be perfect, but I'm going to continue to try to do things, that's probably more relevant for them just in terms of minor setbacks.
Right. Not finding a balance between between the two.
Yeah, but that said, I do think that people are very dishonest with themselves in terms of why they're training. And I don't even know if it's an honesty issue. It's more like a... you know, people have just sort of cluttered messes of thoughts and notions, and
they just can't recognize emotion. The stuff that
matters. It's just kind of like, you know, anytime you're like, okay, like, why are you doing this? There's just like all these sort of like images and socially acceptable things to say and socially unacceptable things to say, and that people don't necessarily ever examine that in detail and think about, why am I actually doing this? And I think the other piece to that too is that even if someone does attempt to examine it, right, because some people are very self-aware and take a lot of time examining their own thought processes, is that humans are really smart and really good at rationalizing why they do things.
Yep.
So they'll just come up with some fake story about why they're doing something. It has nothing to do with reality, but it's just kind of way their brain sort of connects all the dots between these sort of half-truths and notions that they have to come up with a tale. There's some like interesting research on like brain hemisphere usage, where people, you know, will be given
different tasks with different hemispheres of their brain, then asked to explain it, and they just explain it totally rationally and just completely make up a story that connects it, but it has nothing to do with what actually happened to them.
Well, and I think too, with the world of social media now, people, they create a reason of just, they want to fucking show off to people.
Oh yeah.
They want to be able to hashtag PR. What was I using? Hashtag power grunt. That was my one recently where I've just been tagging everything with that. And where it's like, okay, you know, you're claiming that your reason is that you're trying to improve your strength to do this. And it's like, no, you're just trying to show off.
Yeah.
Which, like, okay, I think that there's some value to that. Just, you know, I'll be the first to admit, some days I want to come in here and the only thing that gets me to actually do what I'm doing is to just, you know, prove to people, like, this is where I'm at with my fitness.
Yeah.
You know, I was close to 300 pounds 3 years ago playing football. Now I'm at like 215 and I can do strict muscle ups and you can't.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I don't think that's necessarily a problem as long as long as it's not your sole driving force behind what you're doing. Because like you said, the second that you get beat up or you have to take a month off, kind of like as I'm doing now with my coach, where we're doing this transition month of get your body healthy, get your mindset back, start swimming, doing some different things you weren't doing. You don't go freaking out and flipping out that you're not maybe training as hard, hitting things as hard. You know, like, I'm not going to Instagram myself swimming in a pool. That doesn't look cool.
You got to get a waterproof camera.
Yeah, I guess I could do it with a GoPro maybe or something. But again, we
the
run in. Yeah, you know, well, I could have filmed myself with a double hamstring cramp in the middle of the pool the other day. And I yelled to the lifeguard. I was like, dude, throw me a kickboard. He was like, are you drowning? I was like, no, hamstrings. Full cramp, man. You know, so like, that's not cool. Like, that's not awesome.
The lame whale flounders.
Yeah. So, you know, we have to find that balance and not make up these bullshit excuses for the reason why, you know? And I think that's like one of those things. Hi, Cal. That, you know, is just a part of it. So, all right. Closing point here. Mr. Todd Neef, why is knowing why, air quotes, why is knowing why important? Why is that important to us?
And I think that, you know, we sort of define some buckets for people in terms of why they're training. And that we've mentioned this before, but the actual best practices for each of those different goals is going to be different, right? If someone wants to train for aesthetics,
right,
that they... Like, you know, you want to lose body fat and you want to feel good and you want to, you know, look good and be able to show off a little bit on social media. Like, that's a totally valid goal. But does that mean to be doing, you know, 2 hours of training per day? Absolutely not. You know, if your goal with training is, you know, you're a busy CEO and you know that if you take the 45 minutes to exercise that you can think better and make better decisions and, you know, not get bogged down in brain fog and things like that, like... You know, is it okay for you to train 3 times a week for 45 minutes and try to pack some stuff in there that's going to make you feel good and perform better in your job and in meetings? Like, yeah, absolutely. Like, if you want to compete and win and beat people, like, do you need to push the envelope and maybe risk some injury or trade off some long-term health? Like, absolutely. And, you know, knowing why allows you to make those decisions. And as a coach, too, to present those choices to people, right? Because a lot of people never get honestly told, like, hey, listen, like, you are training for this reason, so, like, you don't need to be here 5 times a week. Or you are training for this reason, like, you need to be here 5 times a week for 2 hours, and your food needs to be dialed, and you need to sleep 8-9 hours a night. And if you don't, like, you're going to get stomped because there's people who are better genetically than you, and they're doing all that. So, like, they're just going to wreck you. Yep. Like, you don't stand a chance. Right. So, you know, knowing why allows you to have those conversations and make those types of decisions. And the reality is, too, is that, like, your why is going to change.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and for me, knowing why is what keeps it actually enjoyable. Like, to a certain extent, that's what keeps it fun. Because in my head, I know... On the days that are really hard, I know exactly why I'm doing what I'm doing. Yeah. Now, I think this is the benefit of having great coaches surrounding you, or, you know, whether you work with a coach on an individual basis or you train at a gym who have professional coaches who have the ability to not only show you how to squat, but tell you why you should squat and tell you why you shouldn't squat, depending on what kind of your mindset and goals are for actually being in the gym. You know, because a lot of people will just ignore that and think, well, I need to be in the gym 5 days a week, hitting it hard. Or it's like, well, not necessarily. If you know that if your reason is X, Y, and Z, and what you're doing is not appropriate for that, then good, we can dial it. But if you have no idea and you are basically shooting blind into the woods, that is eventually going to lead you to probably never showing up eventually consistently.
It's just dissatisfaction.
Right, you know, or just not being stoked and happy about what you're doing.
There ends up being just like misalignment between what someone's results are, what they're expecting out of their training, and then you know, the day-to-day process, where it's like, if you are training to look good and feel good and you're following a competitive program and you have to spend, you know, 2 hours a day doing it and it's crushing you with volume and adding stress to your already stressful life.
You're just going to burn yourself out.
You know, and you're not losing body fat the way you thought you would, because you really signed up for the competitive program because you see the people at regionals with their six packs and it's like...
Supple pecs.
Yeah, you know, there's going to be dissatisfaction there, where it's like, man, if that's why you're training, like, come in 4 days a week. Like, here is some progressive weight training, some interval training, and, like, let me see a food log. And, like, you can get that six-pack easier doing that than trying to follow some blog with 2.5 hours of training.
And don't sleep for 4 hours a night. That drives me crazy. Okay. Well, all right, I think that's it. Anything else to add?
No.
Coach Todd North? All right.
No.
Guys, thanks for listening to the South Loop Strength and Conditioning Podcast. You can check us out online at southloopsc.com. And shoot myself or Todd an email and hit us up at the gym if you want to come check us out. And know your reason why, man. Get your shit straight, okay? Cheers.
Have a great day.